policy. Maybe I should have went first. That might be a hard one to follow up. But the Lord is able, and I trust that.
Amen.
Don't look at the man, trust the Lord.
Amen.
And like what Brother David said, you know, we're here to brag on the Lord.
Yes.
You know, it is a special occasion that we're here to celebrate 200 years of the establishment, if you will, of this local assembly. And I don't discount that, but if the Lord wasn't in the matter, we wouldn't be here.
Amen.
And
right.
It's His will, it's His way, it's His kingdom. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful to be a part of it. I feel like I've had a long spiritual journey, walk if you will. And as I consider looking around the room, you know, many if not all of you have had a part in my spiritual journey. You know, I've been blessed with all of you giving me a little light, if you will. And I know it's not your light, it comes from the true light. But He's placed His light in you, and you have blessed me. And it might not have ever been anything that you ever said, but maybe it was just a smile or a hug or a greeting. And just that small little bit is an encouragement to me. And I'm very thankful for that. And I thank the Lord for that this evening. And that's kind of some of the thoughts that I have on my mind is just, turn with me. Let's go to Bible and trust the Lord. It's 7:25. I know what time I get up here. I'd like to go to Luke chapter 2. And I'd like to look at an occasion here right after the Lord Jesus has been born. And after we look at this, I'd like to go back, Lord, be with my mind to make this very simple and clear this evening. There's a man here named Simeon that Luke records in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. He says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation."
That's right.
"Which thou has prepared before the face of all people a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I still marvel.
Yeah.
I really do. My study over the past few weeks has carried me all the way back to the beginning. We've been back to the beginning, back to Genesis 1, and I've been drawn to the study of light, and it's very big and broad and magnificent just to consider this thing called light. And of course, Bible tells us in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But it says darkness was upon the deep, the waters of the deep. But then, in verse 3, God says, "Let there be light."
Yeah.
But the sun didn't come until day 4.
Right.
So, there was light for 3 days without the sun.
That's right.
Now you tell me what light that was. Well, John 1 tells us it was the true light.
Come on, man. That's right.
So, we'll start turning and I start considering. Brother Paul talked to him a little bit about it, you know. And he pointed something out I never really thought about, you know. But the sun, you know, science. And I love science. I love that the Lord has blessed us to be able to know things. The further time goes on, it's like he keeps revealing. It's like we see through a glass darkly, but it's like we get to see a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And the Lord keeps like turning the dimmer up, if you will. It was dark, and he just goes over there and adjusts in there just a little. And so the sun apparently has been on fire this entire time and has never burned out. And all that is, it's a figure of Christ Himself.
Yeah, right.
Now I want you just to think about that for a minute. My mama told me never to look at the sun. Don't stare at the sun, hurt your eyes. And I've told my kids that. Don't stare at the sun, hurt your eyes. Well, if that's just a figure of the glory of Jesus, can you imagine?
Come on, man.
You know, Moses had a moment.
That's right.
You know, that he asked God. I don't know if I'd have the guts. But he did. I think he was led by the Spirit. He asked the Lord. He said, "Lord, show me thy glory." And God told him, he says, "I'm going to show you part of me. I can't show you all of me because you can't stand to see it." He said, "But I'm gonna put you somewhere, and I'm gonna cover you in the cleft of that rock with my own hand, and I'm gonna pass by. And when I pass by, I'm gonna take away my hand, and I'm gonna let you see my afterglow, if you will, my hinder part. After I pass by, just His trail of glory, if you will."
Yeah.
And it was so bright. What Moses got to see that day was so magnificent. When he came down from the mount, his head, I believe, was bright as the sun. Yes. Because the children of Israel had to put a veil over it. They couldn't even look at him.
Right.
That's how magnificent this light is.
That's right.
This light, though, can do what it pleases. I love Brother brought up the sovereignty of God. If we go over here, and I'm kind of going back to the beginning here, but I want us to consider, because see, this church being here for 200 years is a wonderful thing. But let me tell you, the church has been here for 2,000 years with this light, this new light, if you will, the light of Jesus.
That's right.
But it wasn't always that way. The 4,000 years before that, all the Gentiles sat in darkness.
Yeah, that's right.
If we go back to Exodus 14, we can get a glimpse of how the Lord operated, I guess. I'm at a lack of words sometimes, but how the Lord worked or moved, and how He revealed Himself in Scripture to Israel versus Egypt and the Gentiles. When Israel came out, okay, well, first off, we got the ninth plague of darkness. Okay, and it was so dark that Egypt could feel the darkness, but yet Israel, being in the land of Egypt in Goshen, had light, but the Egyptians couldn't see that light. I don't know how that works. A million people over here got light, and I'm in the same town as them, but I can't see their light. Well, Exodus 14 kind of it clears that up for me. In Exodus 14, it says as they have come out of Egypt, all right? And it says in verse 19 of Exodus 14, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them." So the Lord led them out, but they get to a place now. He removes and shows that He's going behind them, in between them and Pharaoh's army. And it says, "The pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
"But it gave light by night to these."
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how does that work? Well, God's sovereign.
Yeah,
nothing's impossible with God.
Right.
He can be darkness to them, and He can be light to them in the same clay. Ain't that amazing?
Yeah.
But our God is amazing.
Amen.
He can do things like this. We go a little further. You know, again, when I think about what we just read back over there in Luke, you know, Joseph and Mary, what they were marveling at, well, they were marveling at what he said, obviously. But when he said a light for the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Now, I want y'all to just consider that. We're talking about the Jewish mama, Jewish daddy of Israel. And here's this other Jew, Simeon, in the temple, led by the Spirit, comes, swoops up this baby Jesus. I'm sure he's just looking at him in awe. And then he makes this declaration concerning him. And his parents just are listening and just marveling. Just marveling. That just really gets me to thinking. What were they thinking? What were they thinking? Is this man crazy? I don't think they were. I think just as much as the Spirit was moving in Simeon, I think the Spirit was moving in them.
Yeah, right.
But maybe not revealing unto them what this actually meant just yet. It would come to pass, I believe. Maybe not in Joseph's lifetime, but maybe in Mary's. But concerning this light, the Gentiles had always been in darkness. Israel was brought up. David had Solomon. They had the oracles of God. They had the law of God. The ordinances of God. They had everything. God had given them everything that they needed to worship him in the pattern that he laid out for them to worship him. By the way, he gave them a specific pattern.
That's right.
So they had everything, but he never gave it to another nation.
Right.
He never called on the Edomites or the Jebusites or the Canaanites or the Moabites or the Ammonites. He never revealed anything to this. He left them in darkness. And that kind of boggles my mind. I marvel at this. Why was this so? Well, the only answer I've got that I can lay my head down at night and just rest, it was for his own glory.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how to explain that, but I trust that.
Yeah.
It was for his own glory.
That's right. Yeah.
And just as we do see through a glass darkly now, one day, when we are
That's right.
one with him, I believe we'll know fully why. And we will rejoice.
That's right.
And we will praise him.
That's right.
It's hard for me to see now. But I'm ready to one day.
Yes.
This was a prophecy. There was a prophecy if we look in Isaiah, at the time of Isaiah. Now the time of Isaiah, we're getting close to the time, if you will, that the nation of Israel and Judah are going to go into captivity. And then even after they come out of captivity 70 years later and get to go back and reestablish, if you will, then there's going to be a time that after Malachi that the Lord's not going to speak to anyone for over 400 years.
Yeah.
Now I want y'all to consider that darkness. Now that's a darkness. The Lord's not going to speak to anyone, no one, for over 400 years. But in Isaiah, the Lord gives a prophecy to Isaiah, and I'm sure Isaiah marveled at this. I mean, I marvel at it today. But he tells Isaiah in chapter 9 and verse 2, and chapter 9 is a wonderful chapter. I'm going to grab one verse here. But he says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. What's that mean? Well, Isaiah didn't know. Now, Isaiah penned these words, but even when he starts talking about a child is born, unto us a son is given, it, the government shall be upon his shoulder, talking about that kingdom that he would build, Isaiah was penning these words, but you know Isaiah is just marveling at these ideas, these thoughts.
Yeah.
But the Lord tells him before that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. How? How have they seen a great light? It says, they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
Amen.
Guess what?
Amen.
The Lord is pointing out there's going to be something, there's going to be a time. He doesn't give Isaiah the time. But he said there's going to be a time that people that live in darkness, walk in darkness, can't escape the darkness. Egypt couldn't get out of that darkness.
No.
It says it was so dark that they just laid in their beds. Because they couldn't see nothing. They couldn't see the people in their own house. So they just sat in bed. They ain't even try. You know, when you're in that kind of darkness, what do you do? But it says here, they're going to see a great light. Not just a light. A great light.
Yeah.
And I think, again, pointing out that darkness, that Israel, the Gentiles already been in it, but then Israel would even go through that darkness also for that 400 some years that God wouldn't speak.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't speak. But then a great light comes on the scene.
Yeah.
A great light. And it says, why did they see it? Because he shined it on them.
Yeah.
He shined it on them. Again, being here 200 years, it's a magnificent thing because the Lord is shining.
Yeah.
The Lord is revealing. He is showing. And why? What's the purpose? His own glory.
Amen. Yeah.
It's for His own glory.
Amen.
So here Isaiah, he pens these words, and then we come to the New Testament. By the way, it is fulfilled. One, Simeon talks about it. If we turn back one chapter in Luke to Luke chapter 1, you know, Zechariah, I mean, I hope we know this story about the father of John the Baptist, but you know, Zacharias was a faithful priest, him and his wife, but they were barren.
Yeah.
They were older, they were barren, they wanted a child, but they didn't have a child. And I hope we know the story, I'm not going to go into all that, but you know, because of Zacharias' unbelief, the Lord shut his mouth. Just shut it right up. So you ain't gonna speak now. He can do that too. He can just shut you right up.
That's right.
So he went the entire pregnancy of John the Baptist silent. I don't know about y'all. That might be unbearable. But he had to bear it. He couldn't speak. So here then it comes along John the Baptist. He's born. And what happens? Well, they go to Elizabeth and they say, okay, what's his name gonna be? Zacharias? And she says, nope. His name's going to be John. And of course, the whole community's like, that don't make sense. You don't have anybody in your family named John. Why are you going to name him John? They said, we'll go ask Zacharias. He's going to name him Zacharias Jr. Of course he is. He asked for a tablet to write on. And what's he write down? He writes down John. You know what the people did? They marveled.
Yeah.
And immediately, His tongue was loosed. And he began, well, first off, his tongue was loose, and it says, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he prophesied. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And I will tell you what, there hadn't been a prophet that God has spoke to in 400 something years.
That's right.
And now this man is going to prophesy some things. And I'm going to tell you what, when the congregation heard it, it doesn't say what they had, what they felt, what they experienced. But I'm going to tell you what, they experienced something different than what all the 400 years past had. It says that he says, for he, the Lord God, blessed him, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Same kingdom.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sir.
Same kingdom. He's going to build a house. He says, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform mercy, promise to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what a sweet message to a people that hadn't heard from God for 400 years.
Yeah, yeah, right.
He said, the Lord's still there. He ain't forgot us. He's remembered us. And he will perform his promise that he promised Abraham.
Amen.
He says, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And then he looks at the child and he says, and thou, child, John the Baptist, shall be called the prophet,
yeah,
a new prophet,
uh-huh,
of the highest.
Yeah.
Capital H, highest.
Right.
See that new light? See that bright light?
Yes, sir.
That's coming on the scene?
Yeah.
Been in darkness for so long, and here comes this light.
Yeah.
And he says, child, and he's looking at an infant now. He says, child, I mean, you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost to make this prophecy. Holding the infant, says, child, you're going to be the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge. You know, that's all I think we're trying to do here.
That's right.
Is to give knowledge. The light has mercifully and gracefully shined light on us, and we just want to share it with others. Just to give knowledge of salvation of his people by the remission of their sins. What's he saying? Your sins are forgiven. Let me tell you about it. Through the tender mercy of our God. How are your sins forgiven? By the mercy, the tender mercy of our God. Whereby the day spring, what's that mean? Sun's coming up.
That's right.
That great light. What? Well, the day spring from on high hath visited us.
Yes, sir.
To what? To give light to them that sit in darkness.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's right.
In the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. If we go back to Matthew, we can actually see Jesus roughly, you know, 30 years later, from right there, Zacharias is prophesying. 30 years later, we turn back to Matthew 4. It says, now when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, that's John the Baptist, cast into prison for doing the right thing, by the way.
Right. Yep.
He could have kept his mouth shut on the subject, but he didn't. And it got him thrown into prison and eventually beheaded. But when Jesus heard that, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. If you go back to Isaiah 9 and read the first verse, it talks about Zebulun and Naphtali.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it says, that it might be fulfilled. Now, I love this phrase in the Bible, because let me tell you what it does say. It says, it will mightily be fulfilled. Might be fulfilled does not mean maybe.
Right.
There are no maybes when it comes to things being fulfilled with God.
Amen.
It's all mightily fulfilled.
That's right.
So when you read that it might be fulfilled, you can rest assured. I like to say, because it shall be fulfilled.
Amen.
But the word is mightily, is what that means. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Why did Jesus come? The brother just read it. He came to save his people. But his people weren't just Israel.
That's right.
It wasn't just Israel. In fact, I believe it was a whole lot more Gentiles than Israelites.
Yeah.
Because Israelites were the smallest nation in the earth.
Yeah, right.
So we got to consider all the other nations. That the Lord said, I have a people in every nation, every tongue. I don't know how many languages have been in the earth, but the Lord said, I got people in every tongue. And by the way, you can be tongueless. You can be mute, deaf, can't speak. He got them people too.
Amen. That's right.
He does. He said, I got a people in every nation, tongue, kindred. A kindred's a husband and a wife. Woo, we got big then. And people. So he says, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light.
Yeah.
Saw great light. And to them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up.
Amen.
This light sprung up. You know, the disciples got to walk with this light.
Right.
The disciples got to witness what this light was truly capable of. And he did reveal, you know, when he told Peter, who declared him to be the Christ, he says, man has not taught you this, but my Father in heaven has revealed it unto you. What he's saying is, Peter, the reason that you understand this is because my Father in heaven turned a light bulb on inside your head.
That's it.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
I can just imagine when they walked into a casket.
Yeah.
And Jesus just said, rise. I don't know about y'all. I might marvel. I might be a little freaked out the first time it happened. But you know, after the first time, I wonder if they just, whenever there was someone that had passed, because you know death was, it's still coming. I wonder if they wondered, is he going to raise this one? Or what are we going here for? Did somebody die? Just thoughts that my head just, I wonder. Because you know, when you're walking with the true light, when you witness what he's able to do, my mind wouldn't stop. I'm sure I would get very little sleep. They walked with him. But I'm going to tell you what, there's going to come a time in their lives. Well, they're going to have to sit in darkness for a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, I ask myself, why? Why does the Lord allow this? Why does the Lord shine so bright sometimes, but yet even I find myself sitting in darkness sometimes? Even the darkness that I feel like I can't escape. And what do I do? Nothing. And then it takes the Lord to shine again. The disciples would live through that. They would live through the torment of the cross.
Amen.
The days up to, and trust me, the days after.
Yeah.
The days after, those 3 days and three nights after their crucifixion, I don't want to live through that. You want to talk about a darkness. Sitting in fear.
Amen. Right.
Thinking back to all that they had witnessed and lived through with the true light.
Yeah.
And all that they can see is he's not here. He's gone. You know, that happens to me so often. I get caught up and I see such marvelous things in the scripture. And then it's like in a moment, it's like they just leave me. And I can't remember anything that I've read. But I tell you what, they were met together. They hung in there and they were met together. Well, one wasn't there, but they, for the most part, they were there. And he came back too. But you know, they were met together and Jesus, and it was in the evening, and Jesus just appeared. He just appeared. That light just showed up. And they marveled. And He preached three simple sermons to them. Peace, peace, and peace. And he said, touch me, feel me, give me some food. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. But sometimes he allows us to sit in darkness. And I think, personally, one, I know it's for his own glory. But two, I think it's to help us appreciate his light.
Yeah, right.
If you don't appreciate light, a couple weeks ago we had some pretty bad storms here. You know, there was some thought tornadoes were coming through, and you know we were batting down the hatches, and getting ready. And of course, I wasn't. I was sitting on the front porch, looking around, thinking I'm going to see a tornado at night. But you know, that's just me. But, you know, the power went out. And when I say the power went out, I mean all power. That wasn't power. My street, next street, and it was dark. Now, we've got flashlights and stuff like that, but I'll tell you what. When you sit in darkness, just for a little while, and I don't think the power was maybe out, I can't remember, my wife will tell you, a few hours maybe not even that long. But you know, when you sit in darkness for just a little while, you start thinking about, man, I wish the lights come back on. And I'm telling, that's a natural picture here, but I'll tell you what, it's very true, spiritually speaking.
Amen.
But when the power's off and you're just sitting there and you're like, I ain't got nothing to do. What? I guess I can read a book, you know. But you're still thinking about the lights. You're still wondering, when are they going to come back on? But isn't it wonderful? It's like exciting.
Yeah.
When the lights do come back on.
Yeah.
And you forget all the, of course it's the middle of the night now, and you forget all the stuff you had on. But it all fires right back up, and you're just, it's exciting. And of course, now you got to go turn everything back off, and we got to go on back to bed. You know, spiritually speaking, it's the same way. I'm thankful for the light we do have, naturally speaking. I'm thankful for the sun that the Lord has blessed us with. I'm thankful for, again, your light. You know, the gospel is a light. But I want us to consider, we went to the very beginning, I won't go to the very end. In the very beginning, before God created the sun, the moon, the stars, that was 3 days of light. It was His light, it was Him. He was the light, the true light.
Right.
And by the way, the light is also going to destroy that wicked one.
Yeah, yeah.
2 Thessalonians tells us that. I think 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that He'll be destroyed with the brightness of His coming.
Yeah.
But we're going to get to, if I can say a place or a time, we'll be outside of time. We'll be outside of what we know is the realm of our reality. I don't know about space and matter or stuff like that. I don't know. But the Bible tells us, if we turn over here to Revelation, So a picture of the church is Revelation, the beginning of Revelation 21, as He describes as the bride of Christ. And we get down towards the end of that, and he begins to describe, and by the way, the interesting thing about the bride of Christ, He describes them in a way that describes in measurements.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting. But you get down to the bottom or the end of chapter 21, and He talks about the foundations of the wall. And I want to read through this pretty quickly because I want to get into chapter 22 about the first 5 verses. It says, the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the second chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardix, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth, I can't, y'all help me. And the 12 gates, verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. We've heard of that, haven't we? Every several gate was one of one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple. Y'all catch that? No temple. Because why? Because God dwells where? Not in temples.
That's right.
He's everywhere. He's in the heavens. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple.
Amen. That's right.
And the city had no need of the sun.
That's right.
No sun. Plenty of light though.
Uh-huh.
Plenty of light.
That's right.
You know, the sun was darkened when Christ was on the cross.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord from heaven, He said, sun, don't shine.
Yeah.
And the sun said, okay. Actually, the sun didn't say okay. He just went out. He just went out. But here in this place, where we're going to be for all of eternity, one with Christ, says there's no need for a sun. Why? Because he is the light that would never go out.
Amen.
Ever. And says, neither moon. No, didn't need the lesser light. It says, for the glory of God did lighten it. The same glory that Moses looked at, we will see one day face to face.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Amen.
Job said, with these eyes I shall see my Redeemer. But the difference is going to be is he's going to change my eyes. He's going to change them to be immortal, to be incorruptible,
yes,
and to be able to look at him,
yeah,
face to face.
Amen. Wow.
Forever.
Amen.
It says, in the nations, of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. There's not going to be a night. He uses these terms because we have no other way of explaining it.
That's right.
For there shall be no night.
Amen.
And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be in no wise enter anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination or a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
If you have a question about when the Lamb's Book of Life was written, it's found in two places in Revelation. It's 13 and 8 and 17 and 8. And it wasn't in time. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of it, the river was there, the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit. That's something you don't see. I ain't never seen a tree bear more than one kind of fruit. This one bears 12. And yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be written in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I hope this evening has been a great blessing.
Amen.
To lift us up in what the Lord has done for us. When the Lord did declare, it is finished, this right here, he was finishing the work of salvation for all of us. That song, to make us a wretch his treasure, that's exactly what he did.
That's right.
And this right here is where our home is. He brought it up. We're not of this world. This is our world.
Amen.
Right here.
That's right.
May the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.